The following comments were submitted for the September 21 Harford County Public School Board of Education business meeting. Rachel Sims, I am writing in regards to the Return to In-Person Learning Plan Part 2 submitted by HCPS for review by the board this evening. This decision-making strategy plan is not a plan for returning students to the classroom. It continues to be an overview with metrics and now with dates of student populations associated with those dates. This is the same brief presentation last week with updated COVID metrics, new comment bubbles on the classroom picture, and two new slides added with key dates and student populations associated with those dates. This is not a detailed plan as stated by the superintendent during last week's meeting. A detailed plan would indicate how you are returning students to in-person learning and what that looks like. What is HCPS doing to the facilities to prepare staff to return on October 12, 2020? Are you installing webcams in the classrooms as rumors in the community have suggested? If so, are they already ordered? Are they already installed? Due to the high demand for webcams across the country, do you have a solution in place if you don't receive and install all of the webcams by October 12, 2020? When staff returns, do their children also return to school? Are they included in this plan because I don't understand which student population staff would be included? What PPE is still needed? The superintendent continuously talks about PPE, but the specific PPE is not listed in any plan proposed by HCPS, nor is it listed in the FAQ pages on HCPS. PPE in the medical environment is different than PPE in a retail office or school environment. Please define what HCPS considers PPE so that the school community and stakeholders can assist in obtaining proper PPE if needed. When students return for 1 day a week hybrid, what does that look like? Small groups within the same grade returning to the building on the same day each week? How will that work when facilities are closed for holidays? When middle school and high school return for the 1 day a week hybrid in December, what does that look like? Will they alternate each week with their A and B school days? When will the schedule for students K to 2 returning with the hybrid plan with specific dates be posted so that working parents can arrange their work schedules if needed for childcare? With the proposed plan, the general student population of K to 2 students would spend approximately 20 days in the classroom before the end of the semester. Grades 3 to 5 would spend approximately 17 days, and grades 6 to 12 approximately 16 days in the actual classroom prior to the end of the semester. I understand taking a phased approach, but why start with 1 day a week? Why not start with 2 days a week and increase to 3 days in December? How will HCPS transition from students potentially being in the classroom for only 2 days a week to the entire week in late January? Should there be additional stages to this plan with children gradually returning to 3-, 4-, and 5-day in-person learning to ease the transition to full in-person learning in the classrooms beginning on Monday, January 25th, 2020? HCPS needs to have a detailed plan that lists how students will be returning to full in-person learning for 5 days a week. I encourage the board to ask the superintendent detailed questions of the decision-making strategy plan and to update this plan with more details of how HCPS is returning students not only for in-person learning for 1- and 2-day hybrid, but for a full return in the second semester. HCPS needs to be forward-thinking in returning our students to the classroom. Christine Renke, I would like the choice of whether to continue at home virtual learning with the teacher. In-person learning 1 day a week does not make sense. It is a disruption for students and families, on top of possible exposure levels. It is allergy season, and so many kids are coughing and sneezing. Will they all be sent home and quarantined when that happens? Joyce Glorioso, I simply have one question. If the Board of Education members do not feel comfortable enough to risk meeting in person, why is anybody comfortable subjecting our children to in-person learning? Kimberly Outwaite, I am writing to remind the board and HCPS leadership that information about plans for this school year must be communicated in a way that allows all HCPS stakeholders to understand. In many cases, that means providing the information in languages other than English. This isn't just in the best interest of these families. It is also required in Title III, where it states that SEAs and LELAs have an obligation to ensure meaningful communication with parents of ELs in a language that they can understand and to adequately notify limited English proficient parents of information about any program, service, or activity of an SEA or an LEA that is called to the attention of non-LEP parents. As an ESOLS teacher, I have witnessed firsthand how the lack of communication about virtual learning in any language other than English has caused lots of confusion and stress for my ESOLS students and their families. I hope that with this newest round of information being shared, we can do better to keep all families informed. Next, Megan Houston. Dear Dr. Bolson and members of the Board of Education, I am very disappointed to learn of the recent plan to send children and teachers back into the classroom so quickly. At last week's meeting, you mentioned that returning the students and staff at 25% would have been unmanageable based on the current rates of the Learning Center Support Center cohorts that had to be sent home for COVID-related symptoms. For you to announce that more teachers and children will be reporting to schools within the next 3 weeks is very concerning. The teachers and students have worked together to establish a routine, expectations, and a bond. They have adjusted to distance learning. As soon as they get comfortable and find their groove, you want to change things up again, creating more stress and anxiety for all those involved. Parents are also feeling this as they have had to adjust to more changes and debate whether it's worth the risk to send their children back to the classroom for 1 day a week. This will require the children to sit still in front of a computer screen, but instead of being in the comfort of their own home, they will be sitting socially distanced in a classroom with masks and no real interaction with their teachers and peers. What is the benefit? The children will not be able to see their teachers' smiling faces to assume that it is okay if they make a mistake. Teachers will be muffled and not be able to heard clearly by the students. They will also be required to teach and essentially babysit the kids physically in the classroom. Many staff members are now torn between being a parent or being an educator because they are not comfortable sending their own children back into the classroom, especially for 5 days a week. But they are required to report to school to continue teaching virtually, but with the children in the classroom at this time. According to the New York Post, the CDC has updated their guidance yesterday and said that the virus spreads easier than initially thought. The article stated that there is growing evidence that droplets and airborne particles can remain suspended in the air and be breathed in by others and travels distances beyond 6 feet, not necessarily through droplets. The updated guidance also says that people should stay at least 6 feet away from others whenever possible. This hybrid model does not make sense. It seems like it is a lose-lose situation for everyone involved. I appreciate all the hard work that has gone into developing a strategy to return the students and staff to school. However, I hope you reconsider this plan for returning the classroom, especially the projected dates for return. Rosaline Martin. To whom it may concern, I applaud the caution you have taken in the midst of the pandemic. As you begin to plan the opening of our schools for in-person instruction, I urge you to continue to place the health of our community at the forefront of your mind. We need to ensure the safety of every student, teacher, and support staff when planning for reopening. I appreciate the caution you have taken so far and hope that you will proceed with the utmost care for our children's and educators' health and safety. Thank you for your time and consideration. Chris Ekman, please allow K-5 students back at the end of the quarter and VOTEC special needs IEP students as well. Please allow 6th to 8th grade back 1 month after that. Please allow high school 1 month back after that. Going 1 day a week is too disruptive for the hybrid model. Maryland is currently at the very low test positivity rate. My kids are missing their friends and socializing. Jennifer Tuff. Dr. Bolson, it has come to our attention that there is a proposal to bring students back into the schools for learning. For the record, we are in favor of in-person learning when it is a safe and effective means of education. We have been made aware of a proposal that was presented to your teachers on Friday afternoon. The proposal, as we understand it, does not meet the true spirit of in-person learning. Bringing students back to the classroom only to watch their teachers through a computer is only moving virtual learning into an HCPS building while adding masks and the other obvious COVID risks. Furthermore, where many of these students currently have had home technology support and supplemental learning from their parents or guardians, this will no longer be the case. Asking a teacher to monitor the virtual world of learning online classroom and waiting room, as well as the physical classroom of students, is not only unfair, but it will detract from the education experience for everyone. This will create high stress levels for teachers and students and more exposure to COVID without benefiting anybody. Everybody loses with this idea. The students and teachers are only beginning to learn the ins and outs of virtual learning, and disrupting this will only take away from the teacher's ability to learn to do this effectively. Please don't make these decisions without first listening to the concerns and inputs from the parents and teachers. We are gambling with our children's education and safety, and it is important to take the time to get it right. Please reconsider this proposal and wait until it is a safe plan and we have the necessary resources to do this properly. Tia Buinsky, I am writing in regards to the student starting 1 day a week hybrid learning plan, which wouldn't even phase older students in until November. These kids need more than 1 week, and they all need to be able to be back in school for their learning, for socializing, and for their overall mental health. Maybe not all the students are struggling, but a lot are struggling in different ways. I am seeing frustration, disappointment, and overall lack of enthusiasm for school. And yes, each day we are getting better with the virtual learning platforms, but every single day we've had at least one technical issue that my eighth grader needs help with. It is my hope that getting them back more than 1 day a week can at least help them navigate these platforms better. It seems there are many different ways to use the It's Learning platform, and it's very confusing to a student trying to navigate them. Thankfully, I am able to be here to help him, but what about the students that don't have help? However, even I can't seem to find a quick fix to a lot of the problems my student has with the platforms that they are using, so it takes away from class time and he ends up behind. I understand safety protocols need to be able to be put in place, but we must do better than 1 day a week, especially with that meaning that the older kids don't get back until November. Our students need to see the teachers in the classroom setting. Our students need to be able to socialize. Our students need to be able to do more than watch a computer screen for 6 hours a day. They need the face-to-face guidance of their teachers. Thank you for your time. Michael Curry. I am an eighth grade social studies teacher at North Harford Middle School. My wife teaches first grade at Church Creek Elementary School, and my son attends C. Milton Wright High School and Southampton Middle School. I am a teacher, and my place is in the classroom with my students, but not until the proper safety precautions and procedures are developed and in place. And we all must accept the fact that this is not a matter of if COVID enters our schools, but when COVID is in our schools. I am not here to comment on the reentry plan. We have no plan. We have a timeline. It is disappointing that when it's presented this plan, our administrators could not provide the most basic answers to questions such as, if my son is exposed to COVID at C. Milton Wright, what does that do to myself and my classes at North Harford Middle? My middle school's son classes at Southampton. My wife's at Church Creek. It's disappointing to hear that we, the educators, are responsible for providing our own PPE. It is disappointing that once again the decision-making process excludes the educators and staff in the classrooms and buildings. Asking for input after decisions have been made is not a collaboration, but it's a common practice by HCPS. It is disappointing that we will be put into another impossible position to try and provide the best possible instruction to our students without the proper resources to do it. The backordered webcams and devices are out of our control, but they're desperately needed to do the job. Otherwise, we sit at our desk in front of a computer instead of being able to engage with our students virtually and those that are in the classroom. It is disappointing that those that have been selected to lead HCPS are folding to outside pressures to throw something, anything, out to the public instead of a well-thought-out, detailed, and functioning reentry plan that protects our students, our staff, and our communities. No administrator in this county would accept a lesson plan that has so little substance to it. We cannot leave the health and safety of our students, schools, and communities to something thrown together on the fly. Give us a plan, not a timeline. Give us a plan that has real input from the educators and staff of HCPS, who you will be executing those plans to protect our students. Thank you for your attention. Corinne Brendel. I have two children in HCPS, 8th and 3rd grade. They are having more than the anticipated success with virtual learning, and I couldn't be more impressed with the teachers and staff's delivery on this online platform. Most importantly, my kids feel safe while they are learning. I do not believe they will feel as comfortable, safe, and ready to learn if they return to the school buildings. Nor do I think requiring teachers to wear a mask to deliver their online lectures will be as effective. I ask the board to please keep the teachers' and students' safety at the forefront of all return-to-school conversations. There are many families having success with the virtual learning as it is. It's just that the complaints are often louder than the compliments. Please consider continuing with virtual learning and virtual teaching as it is currently being delivered. Thank you. Kimberly Rice. Thank you for your hard work developing a plan to get our children back into in-person learning. My husband and I are both full-time essential workers outside the home. We are finding that all virtual instruction is much too difficult for our kindergartner and second grader to navigate without constant adult assistance. Additionally, our son has an IEP and learning challenges which make virtual instruction less effective for him. Finally, it seems much of our class time is spent troubleshooting technology rather than learning content. I urge the board to return the younger students as well as the students with IEPs to in-person learning as soon as possible. Thank you. Laura Jarrett. I have many questions and concerns about the return to in-person learning plan and how it is going to be equitable for students and teachers. Some teachers have many students in the learning centers and others have none. Some teachers may have 25 students who want to come back and others may only have 3. Learning center students get to attend 5 school days a week while other students only come 1 day a week. How will these issues be addressed? It will also be very difficult to teach virtually over the computer with a mask on because we will have students in our classrooms. I am very concerned about the logistics of this plan and how it is going to work. Thank you for allowing me to express my concerns. Raymond Robinson. With winter coming, colder weather, and the flu season, I believe asking parents to return children to school is dangerous. COVID-19 is being spread in many back-to-school areas within the first couple of weeks of returning. We are putting our children at risk to spread COVID and/or get it themselves and possibly die. What course of action is available for parents not wanting to put their children into the hybrid model of in-person schooling? Lorena Bigley Robinson. What other options will be available for parents that are not ready to have their children return to the building classroom even on a limited hybrid model? How will this impact the children's learning ability? Amy Tucker. I am a resident of Harford County and am married to an HCPS educator. I am greatly alarmed at the proposed hybrid model that is being presented tonight and beg you to not cave into the political pressures and bribery from Larry Hogan to force reopening of schools before it is safe to do so. When my husband told me about the hybrid model, it dropped like a bombshell on teachers this past Friday, September 18th. I asked at least a dozen questions pertaining to the plans. I was aghast to be repeatedly told as a response, "We don't know." How can we expect our teachers to do their jobs without feeling the support of a fully fledged plan that protects and supports students and staff alike? It is extremely impossible not to have the most details settled before even proposing a change, especially when we have not given the current model a chance to succeed. Furthermore, the proposed hybrid model is an undue burden on our already overworked and overwhelmed teachers. Many educators, like my husband, gave up their summers for curriculum writing so that students would have the best virtual learning experience possible come fall. Now teachers are spending 10 to 12 hours 5 days a week trying to implement these lessons using technology that is constantly changing. Introducing students into the classroom increases the workload and stress. Are teachers going to be given extra dedicated planning time to determine how to differentiate online versus in-person learning? Are they going to be given resources on how to make sure that no student is feeling left out? Is the technology even going to allow for all of these things to come together? Before a teacher steps foot in a classroom, these questions and many more need to have correct and concrete answers. Before, I think the most important thing to remember is that we are still in the middle of a pandemic. COVID-19 has not disappeared, and we have only managed it as a society with social distancing and proper mask usage. Yes, reduced numbers in buildings will help reduce spread, but who is expected to do the sanitizing between every class? How much PPE will be provided to teachers? How will discipline be handled? Will students be suspended if they break the COVID-related rules? What happens if a student or teacher tests positive for COVID? Is there contact tracing? How does this new plan help anyone to stay healthy? Clearly, and I and many others have more questions than answers. My biggest question is, do we respect our teachers enough to do what is right to keep them safe and sane? Mental health is just as important as physical health, and both are at high risk. Our teachers are our biggest asset. Please treat them as such. Thank you for your time. Angela Tilley. I would like to express my deepest concerns regarding your plan for return to in-person instruction during a global pandemic. As an employee of HCPS working in a learning support center and a parent of three children enrolled in HCPS, I find this abrupt decision to return kids to a classroom after only 2 weeks of virtually learning appalling. In the 10 days that we have been back at the learning support center, I have seen two out of our four classrooms close for quarantine, one on the first day, and two students sent home because they came to school sick. We cannot control the spread of this virus when students are knowingly being sent to school with symptoms. It is not fair to our students or staff to unnecessarily put them at risk. The game that you are playing is based on politics and not on best judgment, and the students and employees are being used as pawns in this dangerous game. After seeing only a handful of students at the Learning Support Center, I will not put my children back in the classroom. It is bad enough that I will be at risk every day between two schools as I am a split employee, but I will not put my children in a classroom that no doubt will be quarantined at least once during this pandemic. If we could just learn from our previous mistakes as a county and look at what is currently happening in the UK, I cannot see how you could possibly think that returning students and staff to classroom for 8 hours a day is not playing with fire and risking lives. I beg you to reconsider your decision to return more students to the classroom given our already failing marks in the learning centers. Thank you. Erica Bertoli. While the push to reopen schools to in-person learning is understandable, I have deep concerns about the ability to mitigate COVID-19 in an in-person environment, whether that is full-time in-person or hybrid model. According to the data from Johns Hopkins, Maryland is no better than what it was when the initial decision to keep schools virtual was made. We've recently seen a spike in cases, and while that spike has been reduced, there is no way to predict what will happen next. I understand that this is a reality we will be in for quite some time, and that virtual learning is not an ideal situation, but I firmly believe it continues to be our best course. The intent presented by Dr. Bolson to not go back during cold and flu season due to the inability to determine the nature of a child's illness has not changed. How do we address children who come into the school with a cough? Will they be sent home? Will they be required to remain home for set periods of time? Anyone who has spent time in a school knows that coughs and sneezes are so common that they become background noises. Are those children to be marked absent for large portions of the school year? Will they be learning from home or be forced to exceed allowed absentee rates and have to repeat the year? If they are learning from home, there is not a mechanism for a single teacher to present simultaneously to in-person and virtual synchronous learning. What happens to those children? What would be the requirements around coming to school with a cold or with allergies? What would be the repercussions for sending a child in sick? In addition, having to open and close classrooms and potentially entire schools each time there is possible exposure is significantly more disruptive than the virtual model. In order to keep the whole school safe, students exhibiting any symptoms would need to remain home. Further, many families have children in multiple schools. How does the exposure mitigation work? If a child whose elementary classroom is closed for an exposure, does that spill into the middle school or high school where my other child attends? What about children who have a parent or other member of the immediate household who has been exposed? If my office closes for an exposure, does my child remain home? Does my child's entire class go home since chances are that they went to school before the initial exposure was reported? I want to get my children back into the live classroom as much as anyone. I have seen the difference that it makes to be in the school building versus learning from home. However, I have grave concerns about the ability to open schools to in-person learning safely, and even deeper concerns about what happens to the continuity of learning if there are constantly opening and closing schools on a weekly or daily basis due to possible exposures. That not only will disrupt learning, but for the many families who have already created mitigation plans to have children at home full-time until January, it creates a situation where you do not know day by day if you are able to send your child to school. I understand there are not 100% solutions here. I understand that there are families that are deeply struggling with the virtual model due to multiple factors. I applaud HCPS for the efforts it has taken. However, the first goal must be the safety and health of our children, the workforce, and the community. And with that in mind, I strongly oppose moving back to an in-person model at this time. Thank you for all that you are doing for our children. Steve Joe Henning. Maryland's cases are bad. U.S. cases are even worse. Even your small learning centers have had problems already, and cases are spiking in places where schools have opened. As far as I'm concerned, considering reopening schools is a sick joke. Your attempt to reopen schools is almost downright petty, and the people in charge obviously know it. If it is safe to reopen schools, this meeting should have been held in person. Every person who is attempting to reopen schools should be required to attend in person. The fact that this meeting is virtual is enough to show that it's known that returning to in person is not safe. All I see here is people being forced into an unsafe situation by people who don't have to risk themselves. Likewise, the notice of this meeting and the requirement for a comment was given the morning of, on a work day and on a school day, when parents will likely not have the time to address of this. All of this is unacceptable. Danielle Amasia. My children, third grader Leo and first grade Katrina, are thriving in virtual learning. My children are not distracted, learning independence, and they love the routine. The teachers and the technology tools made the transition easy. Just because the loudest voices are complaints, there are many of us that don't want our kids in an indoor setting this school year. Keep virtual an option, and one specific suggestion. Keep specific teachers dedicated to virtual only. Many school districts are offering online school in normal times. HCPS has proved that they can adapt quickly. Now stay agile and continue the dedicated live online learning option. Great job. Jennifer Walker. I've got to start this off by saying thank you. Thank you for beginning to make the movement towards phasing students back into the classroom sooner than January, particularly for the youngest of our learners. I'm sure you will have lots of pushback from parents and some staff, but I, as a parent and teacher, appreciate that we are moving in the right direction. Regardless of the reasons, as many say are political or following other counties' directives, I appreciate that I'll have an opportunity for my kindergartner to be able to walk into his school and have exposure to his class and some classmates and a teacher. Obviously, there are so many things that are not ideal, but nothing about COVID is ideal. I appreciate the fact that we are not just sitting by anymore until January, regardless of the motive. Again, I feel this is a step in the right direction. What many parents will be up in arms over is that their child is going back, yet they don't realize that their child doesn't even have to go back. But this will really give the opportunity for families that generally have a need and desire to return, despite of how it will look. However, as much as I am pleased at what I feel is progress, I must say as an employee, we have so many unanswered questions. Are kids' temperatures checked? What PPE and materials will be provided for my science decks, etc.? I could continue to list it here, but I'm sure they will be covered by countless others. What I would like to say, though, is that in order to do our job well in this hybrid model with kids in our room and kids at home who may forever be virtual from my class, I will need a webcam that was promised to us. I, too, am concerned about my own child who will report to his class and be on his computer while his teacher is on hers. How does that work? However, if we were to get the webcams, which would keep us from being chained at our desk, I really could manage both the physical kids and virtual much easier, creating for a less stressful and more engaging experience. Believe me, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was one of the major original plans. Even just say that you will reimburse us for webcams and let teachers get what they need. We are making it work, but we feel our hands are tied because we keep waiting around for supplies and materials. Frankly, I don't want to hear that they are on their way. Let us order and obtain from our own sources and just pay us back. Then we can really get going on creating a more ideal learning space for everyone. I'll provide a receipt, but please consider this request as it really will allow all of the teachers to regain more control on what we are being directed to do. It's okay to say they aren't coming or that they are really delayed, but help us out with this. Let us expedite this process. Just be honest with us. We can take it. We are pretty resourceful, and frankly, I think we are rock stars. Thank you. Jacqueline Booth. As an educator in this county, heading back to the classroom suddenly isn't worth it. First off, Is the county prepared to pay for PPE and increased cleaning items? If we are forced to work in the building and during a pandemic, can you expect teachers to pick up that tab? Board of Education, is it worth it? Given the strains of teaching online while monitoring students in the classroom, it would be critical for teachers to get webcams in order to have the necessary flexibility to attempt to do both roles well. This would mean the county needs to buy thousands of webcams and train the IT department and train their IT department on yet another technology. Is it worth it? Is this rush worth getting back into the classroom? Is it motivated by financial political pressure from Hogan? Is $400,000 really worth changing everything when you consider the expenses listed above, the cost of burning out your workforce, and reckless endangering every life in our county? According to the agenda that is posted on HCPS, this meeting is taking place via teleconference. This comment was submitted by Melissa Hammond. According to the agenda that is posted on HCPS, this meeting is taking place via teleconference. While I understand that reasoning for a meeting to occur this way during the pandemic, the board members should be able to come together and meet in a room that allows for adequate distancing. If you are proposing that teachers and students can safely return to in-person sessions, then you should be able to lead by example and meet in person to discuss these matters. This is my 22nd year teaching in Harford County, and while I appreciate that you are doing your best with the governor's guidelines to return to in-person schooling, there are too many unanswered questions. Will teachers and staff be provided with cleaning solutions and supplies to disinfect desks and chairs between classes? Will students be expected to watch me teach via the computer like those at home? Will webcams be provided? Will we receive adequate training on the webcams you may provide? Will HCPS set up clear guidelines as far as what to do when a student or staff member gets sick? Will we receive hand sanitizer for each classroom and enough hand soap for the bathrooms? These are just a few of the many important questions that need answers before a return to school can be addressed. Joseph Twardowski. Continue synchronous learning. Let the parents decide what is best for their children. What happened to stage 3 will not be implemented until there is a vaccine or proven treatment. Once again, financial stimulus prevails and the health and well-being of our innocent kids suffer. Shame on you, Harford County. Rachel Fitzsimmons. In regards to returning to in-person learning, I feel it is important to return to schools. I also believe that we should give people the choice between virtual or in-person instruction. By giving a choice, it would make class sizes smaller because still not all parents are comfortable sending their children to school, and that's okay. I currently have a fourth grader who on the daily is faced with glitch after glitch on her Chromebook and constantly having to deal with interruptions, whether it is the teacher having to explain something so in-depth because some children don't have the adequate support for virtual learning or supervision from an adult and are disruptive to the virtual classroom. Then my kindergartner, who is just starting school, cries every morning because she can't understand why she can't see her friends or just can't cope with the virtual learning environment. She has already started to say she hates school and it's heartbreaking. I respect teachers and all that they do, but virtual learning is not an option anymore, not for my family, and to be honest, I feel like I never got a choice on the matter. I am a nurse and I understand COVID, and I understand it is scary, but it isn't going away, and yes, it will probably get worse, but we need to stop fearing this. Our children are going to suffer in the long run from this, and when we think we are protecting them, we are hurting them. If malls, amusement parks, movie theaters, restaurants, etc. can be open, and most parents take their kids there, why can't schools open? Thank you for your time. Tracy Ohms. I am writing to express concern about what I have seen in the proposed for reopening Harford County Public Schools and to encourage the board to stick with the original plan of virtual instruction for the first two quarters. I want to start by saying that our children's teachers are doing an amazing job teaching virtually. I would challenge anyone who says that teachers teaching at home are not working. They are working incredibly hard to make this work. I realize that at-home virtual learning is not ideal and that some families are really struggling with it. However, it seems that bringing students and teachers back into the classrooms, according to what I've seen proposed, will both increase the COVID risk to both teachers and students, as well as decrease the instructional experience for all involved. Having students complete virtual learning 1 or 2 days a week in a classroom will do nothing to enhance their learning or socialization. Since students will still be virtual, they will not have the benefit of in-person teaching interaction. And since it will only be 1 to 2 days a week, it will be disruptive to their routine. Also, since teachers will be in the classroom, all students will get shortchanged. Teachers will not be able to deliver their online instruction as effectively if they are masked, but even more if they are also expected to be in a classroom monitors. Meanwhile, students in the classroom may not get the attention they need since teachers will be teaching their classes. In fact, I imagine it could be very distracting to students in the classroom for the teacher to be delivering their lessons while students try to concentrate on their virtual teacher. Harford County teachers are amazing, but they are not magical. And what are the chances that the school technology can even handle all of this streaming within the buildings? Bringing students and teachers back into the classroom on a rotating schedule is an unnecessary risk to both groups and their families. You would be exposing teachers to dozens of people in close quarters that they would not otherwise be in contact with. Students who spend their days in daycare would now be exposed to twice the number of different people every week. I think the current model of learning centers is a much better option for those who need it, as staff and students remain with one cohort. Finally, as much as I want our students to be back in the classroom with their teachers, I feel it is not safe until to do so. I feel our consistency is so important to our teachers, students, and all of our families. Teachers spent time and money all summer to set up their teaching strategy and spaces. Likewise, parents did with their students' learning spaces. Now we are being asked to throw it all out of the window. Students and teachers are just starting to get into the groove with virtual learning, and changing the routine now will be incredibly disruptive and stressful. Then consider what will happen if and when COVID cases rises again in the winter and schools must shut down again. You have asked teachers and families to change directions so many times already since May. Please give us consistency and maintain the current model for the first two quarters as originally planned. Thank you. Elizabeth Welsh. I am the parent of three school-aged children, 7th grade, 4th grade, and kindergarten. I also have an infant at home. I am giving you all of these details in the hope that you will understand the lives you are putting at risk with the short-sighted reopening plan. I fear that this reopening plan is spawned by great political pressure rather than looking at the science of things. I work at Johns Hopkins Health Center for their IT department, and we are in the midst of preparing the hospital for a COVID surge in the fall, combined with heightened flu season. Our department doesn't have any plans to go back on site before the end of the year. These plans will not be reassessed until 2021. If the leading scientists in the state are not putting their employees back on site with all of the resources we have at our disposal, why is HCPS choosing to put students and teachers back into schools? There are no resources, there is no plan, there is no contingency plan for when our cases of the virus inevitably spike. I am asking you to please reconsider. I am not comfortable with my children, my family, my friends, and my community being treated as expendable in the face of this crisis. Thank you for your time. Jennifer Walter. I am a teacher of Harford County Public Schools as well as a parent of a 6th grader and 9th grader. Although I agree that online learning is not ideal, I do have serious concern about the recent change in plans for teachers to return in October and students to return in November. I understand the pressure and the difficulty. I feel it professionally and personally. I hear it in the community both in person and online. I know this is difficult. I hope, however, that before decisions are made, the voices of teachers in the community are heard. As a teacher and a parent, I need to know what will proper PPE equipment be available? Will there be hand sanitizer, cleaners, masks, screens available for teachers and students? Will we be supplied with dependable and easily accessed equipment such as webcams? Teachers are notoriously known for having to spend their own personal money on supplies. Before the pandemic, I often spent my own money on hand sanitizers and cleansers. It's difficult enough to keep those supplies filled and available for students during a normal flu season. Can you promise that they will be available when we all return in October? As a teacher and as a parent, I am concerned about the quality of instruction if we return too early to school. I've talked to other teachers and friends in different states and communities. Some people innocently believe that monies will be graciously granted and all needs will be cared for. Some think that there are apps and tech in plenty for teachers to adequately interact with students online while simultaneously interacting with students in the classroom. I know that this is much more easier said than done. Many of us are very green to this new technology, and some of the technology that is out there is not sanctioned by HCPS. As a parent, I do not want my child to sit in a classroom with a mask on all day, receiving the same education he could if he were at home online. As a teacher, I am worried on how I will be able to equally meet the needs of the students in my classroom as well as those online all at the same time. Many feel that this can be accomplished by having a teacher stream lessons. Maybe this would be true if we had had the training, the time, and the practice. We don't. I am worried that although teaching virtually from my home is not ideal, I am able to provide a higher quality education virtually than if I was split in two. I would also like to bring attention to the fact that although I love being in front of my students, I am not thrilled with the idea of having every move I make live streamed into the public. I am not the person who journals their life on Facebook. I do not make videos, and I do not plaster my personal life online. When was it assumed that we as teachers have no qualms about being streamed online for everyone to see? How many other professionals must have their work live streamed for the world to see? When we started this school year, we were told that we would be online for the first semester. We went out and prepared and planned. We spent our money on buying desks and at-home teaching supplies and computers. We put our whole heart into this. Then, after a few weeks, we are told that there's been a change in plans. Don't get me wrong, I am ready to be back in the classroom. I am ready to be with my students and my coworkers. I am ready to do what I love. However, I don't understand the purpose of having teachers come back a full month and teach from school when they can do the same at home. What purpose does that serve? It makes me feel more like a science experiment than an educator. My final concern is time. If you choose to go ahead with your plans, when will all teachers be able to set up their rooms? From what I've heard, this is going to be accomplished during Flex Fridays. Do you know what Flex Fridays are? They are not free time. They are not extra planning. These are the days where I spend endless hours communicating via email with students. They are the days that I practice and teach myself how to work the new tech. They are the days I research new ways of learning and teaching my students. They are the days that I help students with their tech problems and meet with coworkers for professional development. In actuality, if I use Flex Day Fridays to set up my room, I wouldn't be able to get into the school building until after hours. I'm sure my concerns are ones that you've heard before and that you'll hear again. I honestly don't have too much hope that our concerns will be acknowledged and acted on. Our entire world is busy trying to find the best way to move on. I just hope that before major decisions are made, you work with the administration, the union, and us. Just listen and hear us. Don't ignore us. In the end, we will do what we do. We will put smiles on our faces, and we will give you our all. It's what we do. We'll continue to do. I thank you for your time. John Orsino. As I have listened to the debate on when or if our children should go back to school in-person learning, I have heard a lot on what people think might happen. I have heard a lot of talk about classrooms being petri dishes and teachers and students being victims of misguided experiment. I disagree that we as a community have no data on what might happen. I feel daycares are a good analog, especially for our K-5 children. I would encourage the board to work with the county health department and examine the number of COVID infections and their severity occurring in our county's daycare institutions. I would also encourage the board to benchmark against the best practices implemented by the daycares, their responses to the infections, and the like. In my personal experience, I have an incoming kindergartner who has been attending the Celebree on Laurel Bush Road since she was 3 months old. At her school, they have had one student test positive for COVID. One student in 6 months. This is an environment where children are not wearing masks due to their ages, do not have desk shields, are playing with common toys, and are not keeping social distancing at all times, as it is impossible. If anything, this environment should be the perfect storm for rampant infections of both children and their teachers. This has proven to not be the case. The protective measures instituted are common sense, but not expensive nor terribly difficult. Students and parent temperatures are taken during drop-offs. Parents are limited to the lobby to drop off and pick up. Teachers are masked at all times. Hand sanitizing and hand washing are enforced, and the environment is well cleaned during the day as well as after the day concludes. Again, I stress that the results of these countermeasures has been one infection in 6 months. Finally, I implore the board to rely on direct observation of educational facilities that have remained open in our own community versus fear. Getting our K-5 students back to school safely and soon are not mutually exclusive goals. Thank you. Christina Hadding. I am writing as a frustrated, concerned mother of two Harford County Public School students. I have two daughters. One is in sixth grade at North Harford Middle School and the other kindergarten in Norrisville. I stress with my use of word with and not in. My children are not in Harford County Public Schools. They are at home due to the Board of Ed's decision to force virtual learning on all families in Harford County. Virtual learning is not the best choice in an impossible situation. It was the easy way out for the administration and forces the difficulties to the teachers and parents. My sixth grader is doing fairly well. She is an independent worker and has a good base expectation of what school is. This comes from 6 years inside an HCPS classroom with the love and discipline of the HCPS staff. She has had 2 years hand-on training with HCS programs like It's Learning from use inside her classroom. She has basic computer knowledge from using one inside the classroom. My kindergartner is a train wreck. She has no idea what school is, as her transitional kindergarten class was cut short at the start of the pandemic. She has zero experience using a mouse or a computer to navigate the internet. She does not understand that the class can see her every move or that they are real people she will hopefully get to play with one day. She can't read. That is what kindergarten is for. I am fearful that this is setting her up for a lifelong dislike of school. To her, school is being trapped at a desk looking at a screen. As an HCPS substitute teacher, I can assure you that this is not what happens in a classroom. Not to mention the constant distraction of her 2-year-old brother who wants to play and interact like the big kids. I have the luxury of a small elementary school for my children. We have small class sizes, which I know is not the case for all schools. We could be socially distanced in Norrisville just as well, if no better, than in a private school. I trade off a lack of internet stores and restaurants for this luxury. Having to add internet to my home is an added expense of $100 per month. I've had to cut my available hours at my job to be able to be at home, to be a home teacher to my publicly educated children. How does HCPS expect me to make this work? Why were we never given a choice to send our children back to school? Multiple times this summer, we heard that there would be a survey. We were told that stakeholders were interviewed for their opinions on the situation. I do not know of any teachers or parents who were interviewed. I understand there are multiple angles to this unprecedented time, but shouldn't each side get a choice? Not all parents are comfortable sending their kids to school or have jobs that cannot be worked around the school schedule, but some do. This means less children being sent into the buildings and therefore more possibilities for social distancing. Teachers can stream from their classrooms to the children at home and be teaching live lessons to our students in school. Our school is sitting empty. 2 different buses visit my home 2 times a day. This is a true waste of resources. Please do not mistake my plea for a lack of childcare using the school as a daycare. My mother-in-law watches my children, but she is not tech savvy or ever owned a computer in her life. She is qualified to watch my kids and teach the basics, not to navigate an unknown online world. I am a graduate of the HCPS school system and have had total faith in the education it provided prior to this spring. The system has failed the children. It left a detriment to their knowledge in the spring and is now causing an entire kindergarten class to dislike the word school. It is time to open the buildings to the students who need them. Allow my children to board the bus that visits my home daily. Allow us to utilize the facilities that Harford County prides itself on. Thank you. Leanne Schumann. First, let me say thank you for allowing us to share our thoughts and concerns with you, as well as taking the time to listen. I feel that the voices of our parents in the county are being heard, but not the voices of our teachers, the ones on the front lines. Yes, there have been forums asking for educator feedback, but no educators have been included in the decision-making process. The time allotted for us to set up and prepare our classrooms is coming from our office hours. How are we to stay on top of the many responsibilities we have to our class if we then have to go and set up and prepare our classrooms? It was also told to teachers that if your classroom is being used for the LACs, then you will then set up around those who are utilizing your room. How can we work and set up our rooms when we're having to socially distance from those who are using our room? Educators are being told of the plan, yet we are not being told what protocols for our health and safety are being put into place. Specific questions yet to be answered are, what are the protocols if someone has their mask off in the cafeteria eating lunch and they sneeze or cough? What is the protocol if a student or staff member has an immediate family member test positive for COVID? Quarantine? Who would have to quarantine? Would they need to produce a negative COVID test before returning? What is the protocol if a student or staff member themselves test positive for COVID? Quarantine? Who would have to quarantine? Would they need to produce a negative COVID test before returning? If one of the 2 above questions have staff quarantine, are they still paid? Would they have to use their sick leave? Would they go out on FEMLA? Would they still be expected to teach online from home? How would this be possible if all their materials are at the school? How does recess work with cold weather coming? How would indoor recess work? How do you tell the difference between flu or COVID? Would the student or staff member have to be put out until it is verified it is not COVID? If there is a lot of quarantining and needing to produce negative COVID tests, first, there is a lot of testing. Second, is the county prepared for the substitutes? Are the schools across the county ready for the overload of internet usage in the school? Right now, those in the LACs are getting booted off the internet regularly. If a teacher is teaching live in person and online and gets booted off the internet, those students who are on the Teams meeting will be in the meeting unsupervised. Once let into the meeting from the lobby, the meeting stays open even if the teacher, who is the organizer of the meeting, gets booted offline. Is the county ready for that? What is going to be done if the shipment of Chromebooks don't come in? How will those students be reached? Is the county already prepared with the devices needed, like webcams and additional monitors to teach from the classroom? Again, this is just more money the county is putting into technology. Technology that the educators are then left to figure out how to use and implement on their own. Currently, teachers have Friday as their asynchronous day. After our morning meeting, this is the time we hold office hours, put small groups, plan for next week's lessons, and have professional development. Teachers were told that upon returning, Friday would still be asynchronous. With the LSE in school 5 days a week, how are teachers to accomplish this task for Fridays with students in their classrooms? How is this equitable to students who are not in the LACs? How is this equitable among teachers when some will have their homeroom teacher from the LAC in their classrooms and some won't have any students at all on Fridays? Teachers in the county are being pulled every which way. First, we were going to be hybrid. Just as we were told how we would go and enough time to process that, we were pulled in another direction and said it would be done totally online. At least we could breathe a sigh of relief, as we don't know what COVID will look like this flu season, and we knew we were online until January 22. Just as teachers go to their schools and get all their materials needed to teach from home and come up with a plan on how that will go, and spending countless hours over weekends getting everything ready for online learning, 2 weeks into the school year, we are again pulled in yet another direction that we have optional 3 days to get set up in a classroom and be ready to be back in school full-time in 3 weeks. How is this right? How is this fair? Teachers want to be back in school. Teachers want to be in their classrooms with their students. Yet the county has not provided any of the answers needed to make us feel comfortable and safe. Why does it seem like this rush is all because $10 million was offered if schools return to in-person learning before the end of first quarter? Interesting, this is being pushed so quickly when the first quarter ends November 6. Is it safe to return in 3 weeks? Why wasn't it safe enough to return 2 weeks ago at the start of school? If it's so safe, why isn't every employee at the CEO building back working full-time and not working from home? Why are they being told if you can work from home, do so? Why aren't board members meeting in person? Are you meeting in person this evening for the board meeting? If not, why? Is it safe for educators to go back in person? Then it's safe for all HCPS employees to go back. I know this plan is not complete. Please listen to our concerns of your educators. We want to do our jobs. We just want to do it safely. We want to be heard. We want the health and safety of our students, our colleagues, and ourselves put first. We want to know we matter, and most importantly, not the promise of money. Thank you for your time. Lee Bondroll. I don't often write to you, but in light of recent events, I feel compelled to provide some feedback. To start, the union has been excluded from any and all decision-making. HCPS has only sought feedback after decisions have been made, which is not authentic collaboration. This lack of respect for us as professionals who know the situation from a boots-on-the-ground perspective is not new, but incredibly disappointing. Secondly, the way staff was notified they'd be back in the classroom on a Friday with no questions answered in a very quick and cursory meeting shows even more disregard for your workers. We are left with no good options and only 3 weeks to find a solution for our own families. I find it incredibly ironic that you refuse to return to meeting in person while you compel your staff to return to situations with many more individuals and for a much longer sustained contact. Don't get me wrong. As a teacher, I want to see my students and teach in person when it's safe. Have you ever been to the funeral of a student? I have. I don't ever want to have that experience again, nor do I want them traumatized by passing this virus to me or a family member of their own. What effect will this have on them if someone dies in that scenario? I wish I could say I had faith in the students would all have proper PPE, behave safely, and that nobody would get ill. Unfortunately, I've had to go shopping and have seen firsthand many community members' complete disregard for the safety of others. Will you be providing PPE and assuring the ventilation in each building is up to date and safe? I resent the lack of options. If students will be given a full virtual options, teachers should too. The very least you should do is allow teachers the options to leave their contract with you without repercussions before implementation of this plan. As it stands, teachers have a choice of the safety of their families or retaining their careers as a teacher. I, for one, will remain, but I cannot forgive you placing my family in mortal danger. Thank you. Jennifer Knoll. Dear board members, I know the decisions made by the board and senior staff are not easy ones. I understand the decisions you make do not come lightly. Today, I ask you to slow down and take a more careful consideration in this decision. We eagerly await a decision on what school would look like over the summer. At the July board meeting, the hybrid plan had been presented. By the end of the week, that plan had been scrapped, and it was decided that we were completely going virtual through January 2021. Parents, family, and educators did a 180 and changed our plans accordingly. We prepared our homes and our lives for this new normal. Now, not 2 weeks into the school year, plans are changing directions again. The back and forth of these decisions are creating unnecessary hardships for all stakeholders, children, parents, and educators. Now, 2 weeks in, teachers are finding their way in virtual teaching. They found out ways to get students engaged in virtual chats, managed all those Microsoft Teams settings, and reworked every lesson to bring the best possible education to our students. Teachers are just getting into the rhythm teaching virtually, while families are just getting into a rhythm learning at home. The proposed plan presented Friday to teachers now has us considering how we will continue to teach lessons virtually, all while managing students' learning and behaviors in the physical classroom. Teachers are wondering how we will teach virtually from the classroom with webcams that haven't yet been delivered. Teachers are wondering how they will prevent the ear-screeching audio feedback on computers when multiple people on Teams are in the same room. Will the families who opted out of computers because they had desktops at home now have computers for students to use when they're in the building? There are so many aspects like these to consider. Board of Education members, please let the teachers catch their breath before yet another change is made. Let families adapt to online learning method before another change is made. Let's slow down and take careful consideration before rushing into another change in this plan. Thank you. Mark Gorman. As decisions are being considered regarding the increased presence of teachers and students in the school, I sincerely hope and expect that these decisions will be based on credible, reliable information and nothing else. Of all social institutions, schools should be most prepared to lead the way in using data to determine a course of action. In the case of Harford County, the data is clear. Since July, when the decision was made to conduct school virtually, supplemented by limited in-person learning centers, there has been a steady, continuous increase in the number of cases of COVID. Our county positivity rate is higher than the state's average. Our running 7-day average number of cases is once again on the rise and has not changed significantly since midsummer. According to Georgia Tech's online risk assessment tool, at a gathering of 50 people in our county, the chances of at least one person being positive for COVID are 49%. At a gathering of 100 people, the chances are 74%. All these figures are publicly available. This data presents a compelling case for continuing to keep students and teachers out of our school buildings. The public health consequences of doing otherwise would impact not only the students and teachers who might reenter, but also their families, their neighbors, and the wider Harford community. Education leaders should make educated decisions. Wait for the data to change positively. Positive. Do not further open schools before January. Thank you. Elizabeth Gordon. On Friday, September 18th, I and other educators across the county learned that HCPS wishes to change from our plan of delivering all virtual instruction through the end of the first semester to beginning in-person instruction on Monday, October 12th. I urge you to reject this new plan. First, the coronavirus indicators in our area have not changed greatly since July. On July 15, our positivity rate was 3.95%, and on September 15, our positivity rate was 3.92%. These numbers come from the Maryland Health Department website. It does not appear that this decision was made because our county has managed to control the infection rate. Second, the plan that was presented requires teachers to teach online and in person simultaneously. It does not, however, address the technical and teaching challenges inherent to hybrid models. It does not appear that this decision was motivated by instructional considerations. Third, we have only completed 2 weeks of virtual instruction. I co-teach with general and special educators, and I am a parent of 3 HCPS students. I have been impressed with the quality of instruction that my colleagues are delivering, but in such a short period of time, I cannot give a data-driven argument for the overall effectiveness of virtual instruction, nor can the proponents of this new plan. It does not appear that this decision was based on evidence from the current virtual instruction model. It does not appear that this decision was made because our county has managed to control the infection rate. It does not appear that this decision was motivated by instructional considerations. It does not appear that this decision was based on evidence from the current virtual instruction model. It does appear that this change in direction is motivated by politics. And I am angry. I am angry that political motivations are prioritized over the safety and well-being of my children and the children I teach. I urge you to vote against this plan and to require that any plan for bringing students back to school buildings will be based solely on available coronavirus data and the ability for the school system to safely and effectively teach all of its students. Thank you. Corey Dio. What kind of PPE will be provided for teachers and staff to keep us safe? I am a healthy young teacher who is aware of the risk that COVID-19 poses to myself and our community. We deserve to know what the school board can presently provide, not what they want to provide or what they wish that they could provide, but what PPE do you currently have to provide to staff to keep us safe? We can't rely on promises of future purchases of PPE in a time when schools and businesses across the country are also looking to make purchases for the equipment to keep their employees safe. What is the protocol going to be for teacher and staff member or student that tests positive and has been in the building? Will individual schools close? Will teachers and staff who test positive receive sick pay? Will it account against their annual sick leave? What happens if a teacher runs out of sick leave? Will schools revert back to distance learning models? My unique situation leaves me with difficult decisions in the coming months. My wife is pregnant and is due in the beginning of January and also has a pre-existing condition that makes her a higher risk for COVID-19. My primary goal is to protect my family, and if the school board is unable to provide adequate PPE to keep my family safe, what options will teachers like myself have who cannot afford to risk their family's health to come and teach in person? Will we have an option of FEMLA? If we're allowed to take leave, will our leave be paid or unpaid? If we aren't permitted to take FEMLA, will we be forced to resign? Would this affect tenure and retirement? Make me, as a teacher and member of the community, feel like the school board is looking out for the interest of its entire community and not just the small group of dissenting opinions of those who are pleading for a complete disregard of safe practices during this public health crisis. Thank you. Catherine Moore. Dear Board of Education members and Dr. Bolson, as a teacher of HCPS, I am asking that you reconsider the requirement for teachers and staff to utilize sick days if required to quarantine due to possible COVID-19 exposures in the classroom. Since the majority of students will still receive virtual instruction, teachers are still able to perform essential duties online. Teachers and staff should not be penalized by having to use sick time if asked to quarantine by HCPS in order to adhere to CDC guidelines. My husband is also an HCPS teacher. If our child must quarantine due to possible exposure, then we must both work remotely. If this extends to a length of 2 weeks, this will exhaust 2 weeks of FEMLA. As a pregnant teacher, it is imperative that I conserve my sick time in order to attend doctor's appointments, preserve my maternity leave, and responsibly keep my children home from school and daycare if they are not well. Please demonstrate the same flexibility and ability to pivot with policies regarding teacher and sick staff and staff sick leave due to COVID-19 as you have asked teachers and staff to do during this time. Erica Bush. I am a fifth grade teacher. My business, my passion, and my expertise is in one thing, making connections and building relationships with children so that they can learn from me. This past month has been the most challenging time in many teachers' careers. However, I speak for myself and for many of my colleagues when I say that 2 weeks into the school year, we have a good thing going with our kids. We have spent the first 2 weeks of the school year learning about what motivates our class, what excites our students, and what goals our young friends have. More importantly, we have worked hard to make these precious children feel confident and cared for in this new and uncomfortable situation. We are doing this the best way that teachers know, by building them up with love. We get to know them when we give them individual attention, when we hear their concerns and thoughts, when we laugh and even cry with them as they're welcoming us into their lives with open arms. I'll say it again, we have a good thing going. Right now, kids feel loved, kids feel excited, kids feel valued. The presented plan threatens to take this good thing away from us, and I'm not sure the payoff of one in-person per day week is worth it. All of the love, all of the connections, and all of the relationships created are in jeopardy if students go back to school for 1 day per week. The caring, smiling, and attentive teacher that they are used to seeing each day will be masked and distracted by technology, schedules, and participation of both in-person and virtual students, among many other things. The students will see no smiles. The individual attention will be no more. The 1 day per week will not be the high value of school day that families expect, nor will the other 4 days of virtual learning be the quality that students have now grown accustomed to. I am not writing this to advocate for the teachers. We will continue to shine in any role that is thrown at us. We will work the late nights and early mornings. We will keep spending our money and time to set up our classrooms wherever you say is best. We will do what it takes to teach our students. Teachers get things done, so I'm not worried about us. I'm advocating for the children. Right now, they are feeling loved. They are feeling important. They are feeling connected. They are smiling all day long. Please don't take that away from them for a mere 1 day per week at school with a distracted, masked, and overburdened teacher. There is another way. We teachers would be happy to share our ideas with you. Thank you for your time. Jerry Strother. What is the rationale for reopening schools with flu season on the horizon? What are your procedures when someone is suspected of COVID, whether it's a student or staff? How are you handling lunches since transmission of COVID is higher during mealtimes because PPE has to be removed to eat? Thank you. Caitlin Callan. As a parent and clinical social worker, I am concerned about the recent released plan for returning prior to January 2021. Our teachers need consistency, stability, and security for them to provide adequate education for our children. Providing teachers no choice but to return to the classroom not only puts our teachers in danger, but also impacts their own families and ultimately our own children. Disrupting our children's routines this early into virtual learning will have a negative impact on everyone. 1 day a week in the classroom with mask on doing virtual work just creates disruption and disconnection. It does not support the stability, security, and connection that our children need at this time. Being able to see their teachers and peers unmasked and safe does. Please revise this plan to fully support our teachers and our children. Do not let political agendas and promises of money, when we have been underfunded for years, to make these decisions for you. While it is evident there are children with other needs, this plan does not adequately address the concerns that impact those families and children. Please take time to refocus on consistency over constant crisis and disruption. Thank you.